to go and see a lady. She's a prosecutor anyway in Ogun State government for the Ogun State judiciary. So we're discussing. So my, of course, I'm a pathologist. So my chief is a senior pathologist, and the autopsies that she had done, and she will need to come to court and all of that. So they need to see and, you know, explain when she was coming and all of, you know, just see beforehand. She was going to testify. So when daddy went in the car and one gist after another was flowing, one of the stories, the young lady, the prosecutor, she said that there's one guy who's currently in jail. Now listen to this, listen to this. It will scare you. You know what happened? A mechanic and a organizer, you know, just guys around a work yard like that. They quarreled over a screwdriver. You know what they call screwdriver? For information, you can buy one for 150 naira. A screwdriver. Who took my screwdriver? I took it, but I gave you back. You didn't give me back, but I did. Ah, only. You are a thief. What do you mean? Can you call me thief? Rush. Giddy. Then they separated them. And the organizer was going, and he saw a bottle. He bent down, picked the bottle, broke it on a nearby stone, and stabbed that guy in the neck. Hit his carotid. The guy bled to death there. Of course, you can be sure that 3 minutes later, the organizer, I clear. You know now, after that, I clear. He has never killed anybody before. It was fight over screwdriver, which had been separated, which had been ended. Are you getting the point I'm making? It's fight over screwdriver. When I heard the story, you know, I tried to be spiritual. I'm not saying I'm a spiritual man. All I thought about is that, you know, you have taken worse actions, but just that nobody died. Ben Carson said he would have been in jail. He would never have become the Ben Carson that you know today if one boy that he had a quarrel with didn't wear a big belt. You know, a big belt. Some of these soldier-like belts they wear, you know, take out the belt is about half the size of the waist of the young man wearing it. You've seen that? Yes. He and his friend quarreled. Out of anger, it was a small disagreement. He said something just came upon him. He just took his knife and stabbed the boy in the belly. Except that the boy had a big metal belt and he didn't know, and it was under his shirt. So the knife hit the boy's belt, and that was it. The boy looked at him like, what? And ran away and avoided him from that day. That this guy, you are a killer. Ben Carson went home crying. He didn't believe he did that. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, let me explain that. What that would have meant, if that boy had been injured, even if the boy didn't die, if he had died, that's another dimension. If the boy did not die, this guy would have gone to jail for aggravated assault or whatever, one long story that lawyers tell. And that's it. He would have been another black boy who's a gangster. Probably would have gone to jail. And I said, look, read my book, Choice is Key to Destiny. Life, the rules of life always bifurcate. They bifurcate. At critical points, you make a choice, either to go left or go right. If that guy, things had gone differently, he had gone in another direction, probably have met a drug dealer. There are many Ben Carsons that went like that. You didn't read their story. Now, I keep on saying that thing. There are many Ben Carsons that's how their story ended. You know this man, Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan's son is currently in jail. 17-year-old boy. Because his friend that they were driving, you know, Hulk Hogan insists that they had witnesses that said that these guys were not doing, they were not racing on the streets. But the boy had a race car, a 17-year-old boy, and he had a friend who's 23, a United States Marine. Listen, a United States Marine who had been to Iraq and had come back, either Iraq or Afghanistan, and had come back, sat on the streets of America in the seat when a 17-year-old boy was driving, and they had an accident, and the guy is paralyzed from the neck downwards. A United States Marine. He has seen war. He has seen trouble. What was the major reason he did not wear a seatbelt? It's not just the accident. But this is the point. Recently, somebody, you know, they are trying to paint the guy black. That's Hulk Hogan and his son. You know, the guy is a believer now. You know, they're trying to paint him all kind of that, you know, and he's very wealthy. The guy is a reality show star, you know. He's a wealthy man. So people want to, you know, trust American lawyers. They want to get their portion of it. And I asked myself, that did anybody emphasize the fact that the Marine did not wear a seatbelt? That nobody crashed the car trying to kill him? That the driver of the car survived because he wore a seatbelt? You're getting the point I'm making?
No, that's just the thing. And I was watching the guy as we were talking about it, Hulk Hogan. I felt very bad. That if that other guy had just clipped his seatbelt, this would have just been maybe rough driving. They give them a ticket. It's their father's car. We didn't concern anybody. You wreck $100,000, your personal problem. You wreck $300,000, we didn't concern me. But because the other guy didn't wear a seatbelt and now he's injured, that young boy is in jail for reckless driving and recklessly endangering the life of another person. Now, you are getting what I'm saying? That the grace of God sustains people. A friend of mine told me the story of his wife's mother when they were very young. His father, the lady's dad was a policeman, and those days was long in the 60s or so, or the 70s. They lived in the police barracks. And one night, the woman came out to do something late at night, and suddenly somebody slapped her in the face. You know, you come out in the dark, you don't see anybody, your hair goes out on your face. By the time she recovered, you know, realized that it was the woman who lived next door. Out of the shock, she bolted back into her apartment and locked the door. You know the story? The other woman died next morning. Those of you who are doctors will understand. She had what we call preeclampsia. So she was already having DIC and was having ischemia. Blood was not getting to vital parts of the brain. So she was misbehaving because of the brain being starved of oxygen. Now imagine, this is Nigeria. All right, now you tie up. Then they will separate them. Then the woman will go back home and die next morning. You're under arrest. Americans will say second degree murder. But if it's America, well, this was those days, yeah? They do an autopsy and they find out what really happened. But that other woman died suddenly. I sat in the hospital once, two boys were fighting. I came here first. No, you got here first. Push back, boom, headbutt back. The other one fell down and died. The other young man was begging, please now get up now. He was begging the cops, please stand up. Because he didn't intend to kill anybody. They were in a queue in Ikeja at the filling station. God, he said, lead us not into temptation. It's a serious prayer. He said, but deliver us from evil. When he said deliver us from evil, he didn't mean, now we've taught this one before, you can go and get the tapes. We're talking about overcoming evil spirits. When he said deliver us from evil, he did not mean the way most of us used to think about it, that please, so as I go out today, don't let a car jam me. No, the prayer was deliver us from causing evil. What he said is that, God, don't let me jam somebody. He didn't say don't let a car jam me. He said, let me not be the driver of the car that will kill somebody. I pray that prayer every day. I pray for myself. I pray for my wife. No, I'm serious. You have taken enough actions in life to kill everybody. I'm serious about that. Now, why am I saying all of this? That you really are not the one. You can't create a pure heart. No, you can't. You can't. What? Why did God allow David to mess up? The simple reason was that, let me summarize it. The man felt too good. And God said, Then what I've told you is the summary of the story. When he told the man stole goat, he said, hey, they can steal goat in this Israel. Yeah. While I'm still alive, goat. I have outlawed goat stealing long ago. What is wrong with this goat thief, scare? No, Nathan was just looking at him. Look at him shouting. A human thief, a murderer. He's shouting about the stealing of goat. All these are politicians are very crooked. We don't know what's wrong with them. How can a governor just chop 25 billion naira? God just look and say, look at thief talking. Thief is talking. Only 25 billion out of 100 billion. It's not just one quarter. You, when we gave you 200 naira to go and buy something, the change was 60 naira. What did you say? You said as you were crossing, you didn't know when it dropped. Meanwhile, you knew when it dropped into the aboki's hand and you collected sweets instead. You knew. 60 out of 60 is 100% tea-free. 25 billion out of 100 billion is only 25% tea-free. Who is the worst thief? Most Nigerians shouting against politicians. God is just looking at them. They look at them. Only, boo-boo. All of them thief, one after the other. Oyoshi, Abi. They look at them. They are talking. Yes. No, believe me. That's the summary of David's problem. That was the summary. So God said, well, he's a righteous man. Let us show you. And all these angels have been keeping him out of adultery and murder. Leave him alone. So they just pulled back that day and stayed behind. And righteous man came and said, ah, wow, this one they make him on Sunday. God just finished the Sabbath. Who is that? They said, it is Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. They told him whose wife it was. And God's grace didn't help him that day. God said, nah, lie, I will leave you alone. He took Bathsheba, God said, leave him. Then he plotted so that you will know it's evil in the heart. The goal of wickedness still in the heart. Because if it was an organizer that stabbed somebody in the neck, we know it happened in a flash of a second. Do you get my point? And then this thing has happened. He doesn't know what to do. But no, this man settled down. Sent for Uriah. He said, boy, go and relax at home, hoping that he will claim the pregnancy is his own. It didn't work. One spirit, the spirit of stubbornness, entered Uriah that day. Because Uriah normally is a good soldier. He would take orders from the commander-in-chief. He refused. It was God. No, God is everywhere, believe me. God is just there. Because Uriah is not going anywhere. Just watch. They got the man drunk. In his drunken state, he slept at the gate. He said, I'm not going anywhere. It was his spirit telling David, you want to cover it? Watch it. It won't work. Finally, David settled down and wrote instructions on how to kill Uriah. It was wickedness. Do you get my point? The Bible says one of those things that the Lord hates is a heart that devises evil. This guy sat down and plotted. It took days. You know, before Uriah would come back, before the message went, Uriah came back, stayed 2 days, finally went back. More than a week, David was plotting. So that God will let him know that it's not accident. Why was God going through all of this? So that the man can realize that inside me lies still wickedness. And so that he might confess it, that God might remove wickedness from his heart. Do you get the point I'm making? I said that only God can create a clean heart. Only God. The only thing you and I can do is to confess. That's all. That is all. The only thing. Open quickly to the book of John. 1 John chapter 1. I said that I was going to explain along the line how to obey God even when you don't want to obey God. This is the principle that Jesus used. It's the principle that we are supposed to use. It's there in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. He said, let's draw near to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. This is the same principle. It's all over the scriptures. That's what we have read in Psalm 32. It's in Psalm 51. It's also in 1 John chapter 1 here. It's in Hebrews chapter 4. He said, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. That's verse 8. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous. Two things. One, to forgive us of our sins. And two, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a world of difference. He forgives of sins and cleanses of unrighteousness. That is the tendency to commit that sin. Do you get my point? See, let me explain something. What God judges is not the act, it's the heart. Do you get my point? He actually just allows the acts to show you what is inside the heart, that you might come to God confessing so that he might purify the heart for you. First established that I've given my life to Christ, doesn't mean I have a pure heart. He doesn't. That's one scripture we did not, one doctrine we got wrongly. We said heart and spirit are the same thing. They are not. Therefore, if a man is born again, he has the spirit of Christ in him. Therefore, his heart is pure. It's not true. Those messages were preached on campus and the believers were sinning also. No matter how you want to rationalize it, it's not true. The fact is that he has a seed of God which propels him in a particular direction, which was the reason why Simon did not get angry with Peter. Because he had believed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because indeed he had believed. Therefore, the seed of God was in him. So when they showed him his iniquity, he said, ah, is that so? I'm sorry. Are you getting my point? Listen, it's not the I'm sorry of reconciliation. Husband and wife, you should learn to say sorry. A husband should quickly say sorry. And wife should learn how to say sorry. That's not what we're talking about. Is it so that you can live together in harmony? No. This is, I am sorry of you have just showed me how wicked I am. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not that I'm sorry to reconcile so that you won't quarrel. No. It is the I'm sorry of, wow, I thought I knew it, I did not. I thought I was good. You have demonstrated to me how evil I still am. The woman I wanted to quote, I didn't remember on time, well, I brought the book, or at least written out the quote. One of the old teachers of those days, he said that the degree to which David strayed away from God in this issue of Bathsheba and Uriah was the degree to which his heart was not fully yielded to God as a young man. The way we explain is that if a plane takes off from Lagos and is coming to Enugu, if he misses that course by 0.5 degrees, you know, if you travel only 100 meters, you won't notice. But after traveling almost 700 kilometers, instead of reaching Enugu, the guy will be in Owerri. Do you get my point? That is, when you plot deviation over a long distance, it becomes a great gap. And that is why, as a young man, as a young woman, you have to learn to recognize the little deviations now. Oh, this is what I was going to tell you. Okay, I told you that. Let me tell you again, for those of you who are not around, to let you know, understand what they mean by a pure heart, and how you should confess. It's happened to me. It happened to me, you know. This really happened to me. It's not a morally bad thing. You know? It's not the kind of thing, say, ah, pastor, you say, they look woman with a bath. Ah, ah. No, it's not that one. That's not. No, but interesting enough, spiritually, look, it's still deviation. Deviation and deviation. Eh? You know, when with this spiritual economics, I explained then that he that sows in tears shall reap in joy. Can you remember that? Restore our captivity, O God, as streams renew the desert. Now we preach that principle. And then Charles Oludo just read the Riot Act. 25 billion naira by the end of 2005, or you're not a bank in Nigeria anymore. And I said it was a spiritual statement. I said simply, I don't know much about all those things. So I just said it out of having read this. Look, listen. There is enough in the Bible to give your business direction. I'm serious. I said it then that, look, these banks, the two things. I said the banks are, and I said if the Nigerians really love Nigeria, we have to give them money to capitalize 25 billion. That is our country. And that the banks should ask Nigerians to do it. I didn't even know they were planning to do it. But of course, shortly after that, one IPO after another. First, I bought Guaranty Trust Bank shares then. I had never bought shares in my life. And the reason, I'm talking about motives, was that people taught me that you buy shares because of tomorrow. And I said, if God hears that, he will kill me early. So I couldn't dare do that. I don't believe you buy shares because of tomorrow. You never can be sure, you know. Your children have to go to school. They will go to school. Listen to me, they will go to school. If God has to build a free university because I won't have money, then he will build it. They will go to school. Do you get what I'm saying? That's not in doubt. Now, but I said, the Bible says, we call it sowing in tears. Restore our captivity, O God, as streams renew the desert. And God said, you want that? We said, yes, sir. He said, he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. So if you are saying restore our captivity as streams renew the desert, New Living Translation, that's Psalm 126, then go and sow in tears. So I told everybody here, if you were there, you can still get the tape. I bought mine in Guaranty and Oceanic Bank. As God is my witness, just because I felt, no, we have preached this message, we must act upon it. Let me cut the long story short. We didn't know Nigerian stock market would become a crazy thing. Putting 1 naira today becomes 2 naira after this thing. When everybody saw it, everybody was teaching stocks on radio, on newspaper and everything. Buy stocks, multiply your money in 3 weeks and all of that. I said, this is a wrong spirit. This is not right. I remember one of my friends said that. I said, I have shares in Oceanic Bank and in Guaranty Trust. Bring it now, let's trade. I said, what kind of trade is that? You know, I said, I'm not interested. He asked me, I said, I'm not interested. I'm not selling it. I'm not planning to do business. I said, I bought it. I own part of Guaranty Trust. I own part of Oceanic Bank. It's a spiritual investment. I'm very happy with it. Now, that's the righteous heart. Amen. It yielded fruit. So, you see, good things, that's how they start. People now corrupt them. So, with Pastor Banky, what happened? Just what I have told you. Then one day I was in my office and people began to talk. And he said, don't sit. Be careful where you stand, though, and where you sit and where you walk. Don't stand in the council of the wicked. Sit in the seat of scornfuls, of all those kind of crazy places. That day, I think I was amongst crooks and covetous people. And I stood there. That was the first error. I stood. You know, look, this is where this thing is going. Somebody said, I went to my bank and borrowed money. And I put in this public offer that this particular bank is doing. I'm paying interest on the bank loan, I know. But when it comes out, for your information, all those, it was number one, they first return most of the money people gave to them. And then the share values are now lower than people bought them. Colossal loss all over the nation. It's everywhere. Somebody told me that, look, the problem he has is not the big man who lost 50 million naira. He says, the man who they told in the village that bring your 100,000 naira, you can double it. And the thing is now 25,000. Somebody told me yesterday that he knows a man. He sold his business in Onitsha, invested the money in Nigerian stock market. Speculation. He has lost more than half of his value. We are lucky Nigerians don't commit suicide, though. Anyway, that is how people were gisting. Look at this, what this man does. And after plenty talk, it's all these stocks that are not expensive. And I told that God, there's no righteous man, if you know what I'm going to say. It's God. You allow the grace of God to sustain you. So I guess, let me sound righteous, you know, sound spiritual. I guess God just said, okay, Vanky, let's just, there are some sins you haven't confessed. You think you are not covetous. Maybe so, but let me show you that you are. After we stood that day, I said, now, wow. But that thing will just happen. Man, no, we just participate at all. Please, I'm begging those of you who can preach. Preach to me also. You know, I preach to people all the time. Nobody tells me anything. They all gather like this on Saturday. I will pray at home. Prepare. Get down here. And I get up. Hallelujah. And all of them are feeling very happy. Sometimes on Sundays, I record. On Monday, I'll be back. They are there. Monday evening, they are listening. Thursday evening, they are listening. Sometimes in church, I preach. I get invited. I say, one day I pray. I say, God, please now, who will preach to me? I know they buy books. I buy. Sometimes, they know they talk to me. God can bless you now. I say, Pastor, I know. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for correction. I'm serious. You know, people came to preach to Job. They didn't tell him anything. Job was not a proud man. It's just that they didn't tell him anything. His sin was not what they were saying. The problems of Job was not what Eliphaz and all of them were talking about. That was why he couldn't just agree. Sometimes I tune TV and a man begins to preach. And he's feeling very happy. And he's shouting. I say, oh, Pastor, man, this is not my problem. Do you know that God can bless you in Nigeria? I preach it. I'm aware. I want serious correction. No, I'm serious. You know things that will come out and hit you. You know it's your own. That's what happened to Job. The people talked and talked. Are you sure you didn't steal anybody's money? He said, call the person. He said, rather, let me name those who were in trouble and I bailed out with my money for you. That was why his three friends shut their mouths. They couldn't talk. Anyway, so that day, I will continue. We're just talking and talking. At the end of the day, now I said, okay, since I have small change here, let's also use the magic of penny stocks. This is a confession of sin. We may be laughing about it because it's not woman matter, but it's also a sin. God said, fine. Thank you very much for this iniquity you have committed. It's so crucial to my explanation of certain principles to you. They bought it at 10 naira. Next week it became 9. Following week 8. The following week 7. It kept on dropping. I started laughing. Was I angry? No. I laughed. In fact, the day my friend and I, who was the chairman of the Scornful people that day, and it was the man really sitting in the seat of his comfort. I was just standing beside him. I told him, I said, look at what you people did. He was the one who told me he borrowed money from one bank and then he's paying interest and he's happy. He can't say that again. I said, look at what you people have done. He said, are you serious? He too started laughing. He said, man must be careful what he says outside. So people were listening. I said, I was listening. I'm sorry, but I was listening. I said, but in effect, no, listen. I said, what's wrong with the Nigerian stock market? What is wrong? No. God, you know, my own spiritual, I said, back, he said, you know, you have become a thief. What did I do? I just turned. I said, I prayed a simple prayer. Dear Lord, I can take loss anytime. You know, I have no problem with that. But first of all, I confess that it was desire for quick gain that started this. That's what God said, fine, no problem. Whether we lose the money or we get it back is besides the point. No. The most important thing is that we have confessed the sin to God. I told my friend, I said, it may be 100,000 naira today. It may be 200,000 naira today. I said, but do you know God just delivered you from the loss of a billion naira and you don't know? Because if you didn't lose that 10,000 naira today or the 100,000 naira today or 200,000 naira today, you will have lost $1 billion tomorrow. Listen, he said, God, I'm not covetous like the rest of them. He said, look at him, Pharisee. It was the Pharisee. He put up his hand. He said, dear Lord, see how far. See clean heart. Look at him. I know they do evil, though. I pay tithes of all that I own. I'm not like that fellow on the other side, thief, Roman soldier. Look at him, holy. The other one just sat there. Have mercy upon me. I know, say I the thief. And Jesus said, that one went home more justified. Do you get what I'm going to say? Listen, this is what God wants believers to do. He said in Jeremiah chapter 3. He said, "What? No, open there. What have I asked you to do?" He said, just acknowledge your iniquity. That's all. That's nothing more than that. Let's start from verse 11. Only acknowledge your iniquity that you have transgressed against the Lord your God. That is summary. Are you getting the point? Only acknowledge. I started by differentiating between Sauls and the Davids of this life. The Sauls, they have explanation for the problem. Is the economy. You see, do you know the reason why people explain? One day my wife and I discussed this. I was saying that if you enter the market, if you buy something from a man who is a very poor trader, and the thing is bad, you want to return, he'll start arguing with you that when he sold it to you, it was good. It was your son that dropped at home and he spoiled. I said, you know the problem? He can't replace it. It's not as if he doesn't know the truth. Do you get my point? The problem is that he can't replace it. But when you go to a big dealer, maybe then you go to Albertina or you go to Benny Brothers. He said, I bought this television. I go home. It didn't work. They will look at it, collect it back, and give you a new one. You know why? That day, they probably sell another 100. Do you follow my point? They sell TVs in millions of naira every other week. So they can afford to replace it. But the man who collected only one, this is trouble. Now, you are getting what I'm trying to say. Now, that's the problem. So, you see, the man is being stubborn, he's arguing. What you don't understand, the guy is saying, Oluwa, where am I going to get the money from? So, the only way to get out of it is to persuade you that it's your fault, not his fault. That was the problem with the Israelites. They have committed so many sins. How do we explain to God that God gave me a son and sacrificed him? They say, it's not good to do abortion. Me, I did three. You know, there's no way to explain it. Are you getting what I'm saying? How do I pay back? That's actually the main thing. God said, relax, come. I'm not saying you should pay back. I'm not saying you should cleanse your heart. What did I say you should do? Just acknowledge that it was wrong. I did it, yes, it's me. Guilty as charged. That's what God is saying. Are you getting my point? No, you know, because like you want to preach morals to people. The problem they have a lot of times, that you see, agreeing is putting them under a lot of pressure. Tell the man it's not good to collect bribe. How will he finish the house? House he started with bribery. How will he finish? So all you ask, he starts arguing with you. Since the dollar left 2 naira, to the dollar, and became 50 naira, how can a Nigerian survive? He starts telling stories. What you don't understand is that you are telling him to agree that this money he won't. No. That's it. It's not, look, the morals is not lost on him. But he has to make crucial decisions if he agrees with you. Since he's not willing to do it, he starts arguing. But God said, listen, I'm not saying don't build a house. I'm just saying only acknowledge your iniquity. And I will remove the desire for bribery from your heart. That's how God does it. I will remove that thing that is driving you to sin. I will remove it. I will remove the craving inside your soul that's not letting you see straight. Just acknowledge that it is wrong. No, I'm serious. I said that God is the only one that can purify a man's heart. He can't do anything by himself. He can't. A man cannot. You cannot do. Look. Simon the sorcerer couldn't do anything by himself. Peter showed it to him. What? This is the problem. That's the problem. I'm a preacher, so don't mind me when I'm always fighting with preachers. That's a problem. Look, I've had discussions with people before on how money matter in ministry should be and all of that. Sometimes we get into arguments. You talk to there are doctrines that a lot of pastors can't buy, not because I can't prove it from scripture. But the man checks. Right now, all my ministry gets in a month is 200,000 naira. We're just managing to break even. If we believe what this man is saying, how will we sustain it? I'm serious. It's in the back of the man's heart. So you argue scriptures, show scriptures, talk. Now lie. His practice, he won't change it. You think he can't he see? The ability to see. Let me tell you something. Somebody said, you don't look with your eyes. You look through your eyes. No, you don't see with the eyes. There's somebody behind the eyes using the eye to see. Your eyes are like windows. The real person looking is hiding somewhere that you and we can't see. You show the scripture, 1 + 1 = 3. Ah, he said, how did you arrive at 3? Sir, I thought 1 + 1 was 2. No! According to a divine special revelation that God showed to us, last week I preached this message somewhere and their 1 + 1 became 3. The other day I went somewhere, I said, sir, come please, now this is arithmetic. He said, no. The other day I went somewhere, I preached it, they were adding 2 + 2, it was 4. When I came, it became 5. You know what I always say? Don't argue, bros, don't argue. If an adult insists that 2 + 2 = 5, please, one thing you must never do is argue. You know why? There is one extra one in his pocket. He just didn't show it to you. So 2 + 2 for him is 5. Because there is one in his pocket, which he hasn't showed you. God said, no, you see, you don't get the point. Is it money to run ministry? I will handle it. Just acknowledge that this is wrong. I'm not saying change. I'm not saying money is not a problem. I'm saying just accept that this is iniquity. What I've just made is this. A pure heart is created by God. All right? Again, I said it's a process. I was saying something earlier which I didn't develop further. The experiences of life, God allows them to show you the kind of heart that you have. Do you get my point? Look, there are people that don't know how proud they are. Okay? Because they have not really had the occasion to manifest their pride. Listen. The proudest people I've seen in my life, I have about 2 people in my head right now. They were housemaids. There are things you are in right now, God said, is to humble you until you have become humble. You know what they call? It's humility that God will drill into your soul when you have passed through certain experiences. I've said, look, please, be humiliated early in life. It's good. Cross the road one day barefoot because you don't have shoes. It's a perfect time. Are you getting my point? Yes. Because God will now be able to bless you later in life. There are people that God has been... maybe I'll talk about that one again next time. There are different ways, I said, that God corrects people. I have not yet outlined them one by one. The first one I said is instruction. Do you get my point? After that, he now goes on to experiences. And then he ends up with bodily affliction. If a man doesn't hear, he dies before his time. I'm serious. That's the progress. The first one is instruction. You are here now, I'm preaching. You've gone to place, they've taught you things. The next time, you lose your money in the stock market. Listen, please, when you have experiences, listen to this, never blame other people first. Do you understand my point? Look inside you and say, what is going on here? I remember one day we had some issues when we were in Lou that time. The doctors, you know, we had serious issues. I mean, it was terrible, you know, with government and strikes and no pay and all of that. And I remember one day, one of my friends and I, Topsy and I, were talking, there's another guy there. We said, wait, guys, this harassment is severe. When you don't earn a wage, you'll be earning a regular pay. The money was not plenty before. They now truncate the payment for 5 months. You will go broke. No other money, get my point, money is not flowing from any other place. You will be broke. So how did it last so long? I don't know. We just thought it would end tomorrow. It never ended. So one of my friends that day were now saying that, wait, how come we are being afflicted like this? That maybe, that was Topsy and I, because of the kind of teachings we had been hearing, we said maybe we should look inwards and ask ourselves, what's our problem? We're not saying we don't deserve the extra pay we're asking for. No, that's not what we're saying. But say, first, let us look inside and see what our issue is. The other guy said, no! What do you mean? This is our minister is just wicked. There are people can just be wicked. I said, we know there are people can just be wicked. But how come the rod of the wicked is falling upon the lot of the righteous? We are not saying people may not just be wicked. But how come you are the subject of their wickedness? The Bible says, how can one chase 1,000 or chase 10,000? I was talking about the Israelites, be the one in flight. He said, were it not that their God gave them up? You don't say, people can just be strong. People can just be strong. People can just be strong. It's possible now. One man can chase two people. God said, how come? In your case, how come? You are supposed to be the one chasing 10,000. How come now you are the one that won? Do you get my point? He's now chasing your 1,000 and two is chasing your 2,000. So my friend and I said, no, we should look inwards. Like I said, no, people can't just be wicked. I looked at him and I remember in my mind, I said, they don't teach anything in your church. That's what I just do myself. I stopped the argument. Okay, forget now. But that's the right attitude. Why have we suffered like this? Is it just because of one man? Because it was one man that caused the whole problem. But I said, look, listen, guys, let's look beyond him. Let's look here first and find out why God made a man like him to be Lord over us. Because when God said he will afflict the children of David, he said, I will use the rod of men to afflict them when they stray away from me. Are you getting my point? This nation is terrible. A young girl, they can't find job. You are not employable. That's your problem. People are finding job every day. But better hear it. I'm serious. And this country is so terrible. A young man can't buy a car. You can't drive it. That's your problem. Yes. When your heart and your soul reaches the place of buying it, of owning houses, you will get one. It's not the country. You're a child of God. Don't talk that kind of rubbish. Me, I've never blamed the nation. Never. Never. As God is my witness, I'd never have. Why should I do that? When I didn't have a car, why come we don't have a car? I said, I don't have money. That was my answer. How come you don't have a car? I said, I don't have money. It's a simple reason. I said, everything has times and has seasons. My own season never come. No, that's just it. That's just it. If you're in America now, all your mates own houses. Listen, my friend, I'm not going to America because of that. When the season comes, I will also own houses. If I wish to, I'm not the type that like owning many houses. They're like the one I will live in. That's my own. But when the season comes, do you follow my point? Never blame the nation. And look, as before our very eyes, we prophesied it's happening. Now Nigerians who can buy a house and pay over the next 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. It's happening already. Now Nigerians who can go and buy a car and be making payments every month. That's what Americans do. It's happening. Listen, it's the faith of certain people that brought that to be. You think it happened naturally? Listen, let me say this to you. If you like, think it's pride, but I know what I'm saying. It's because of me and people like me that God is doing a lot of good things he's doing in this country. Left a lot of grumblers, we'll all be dead. If I leave this country, pack your load and run. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I mean, let me close. My time has really gone. Have you learned anything today? All right, let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we give you thanks in the name of Jesus.